Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Yesterday afternoon at the footy, GMHBA Stadium, as the sun was setting, I love afternoon games at GMHBA. Mm-hmm. Like the glow, if it's partly cloudy, oh, that orange and purple, all those beautiful colours, they start dancing. And
it's a beautiful spot.
Took some photos, took some videos, and I think somewhere during the third or the fourth quarter, a large flock of seagulls entered the stadium.
Oh.
Now, I was distracted big time because it wasn't a lot where you're like, wow, that's a lot of birds. But it wasn't a small group where it's like, oh, I'm not noticing it. It was like some mid-level flock.
How many are we talking? Mid-level flock.
15 to 20.
Sure, yeah, that's a significant
flock. Not a horde. No, nowhere near a horde. But
it's not like, you know, the birds situation.
Yes, no, Jesus.
You're not Hitchcocking.
No, you're not Hitchcocking it, so calm right down. But they were flying over like different areas, so they would land on the turf and they would get up if the ball came near and they would go to like one other end. And they were kind of, because I think their brains get a little bit confused and they're like, we want to be here because there's chips and there's stuff going on. But like, obviously this is not a safe environment for us. And they kept flying over. I was in one of the races because I work on game day for the Cats. And the people I was with, they were like, doing their...
Ducking. Too many
birds. Like, they weren't flying near us, but they were worried about bird poo.
Yeah.
From the seagulls. Mm-hmm. And...
Well, you never know when they're going to drop.
Well, exactly. Like, but that's the thing about birds. Like, they don't have a toilet or a bidet. Like, they're just... the air. The sky is their toilet. And they were
the
all...
The sky is their toilet.
Where's the lie?
Put that on a T-shirt.
So... they're all ducking and like, oh, I hope it doesn't poo on me. And I'm standing there going, that's fine because if you get pooed on by a bird, it's good luck.
Mm-hmm.
So if anything...
there you are with your mouth open.
Come on.
I could use some luck right now.
Yeah, feeling a bit unlucky. I would love to get a bit of luck. But it's always the age-old question. Is it actually lucky to be pooed on by a bird? Or is it just something you say to somebody?
Cause to make them feel better.
Because they've literally just been pooed on.
Yeah. Yep. I was out with a friend once. We were having, like, day drinks outside.
Months ago. You're pregnant now. Please.
Yeah. No, this is years ago.
Oh, thank God.
this is years ago. But as we were sitting there, she had a beautiful cocktail in her hand. She's like, take a picture. And I took this photo of her. And as I took the photo...
no way.
Bird poo in the cocktail. In the cocktail glass.
Plop tail.
She was like, "Ah,
that is, I don't remember.
I'm going to try and find the photo because it was wild.
Yeah, I know it was an amaretto sour, but that is quite bitter.
Honestly, it's probably for the best that we caught it.
I was going to say, if you didn't take a photo and see it happening, she's just drinking poo. 5223295 Is it actually, do you believe, is it lucky if you get pooed on by a bird? Or is it just something nice to say to someone?
Right, yeah.
Just been pooed on.
I like to believe that it's good luck. Why not?
But again, it's because you've been pooed on. I've had a bird poo on me and it's hit me in the eyebrow.
Oh.
And I thought it was a big raindrop and it did the old, not into the mouth, but
no,
like that corner.
No, Tim.
Section, just like in that little bit.
Did your tongue go there?
I was ew.
Like, let me just check.
No, it was one of those things where you've never pursed your lips harder.
Yeah.
It's very similar to like early days changing my son's nappy and sometimes you get poo on his hand and he would just like reach for your face and you go, like literally NASA couldn't get in there with like a heat gun.
Something
like,
to look forward to. Excellent.
Yeah, it's a bit of fun. But 5223295 Is it actually good luck if you get pooed on by a bird or is it just... no.
Would love to hear from someone that maybe got some luck.
Yeah, if you have proof of it for or against, we would love it. Ava from the newsroom, she's just popped in here. You were at the game, Ava. Did you notice the seagulls?
I sure did because they were very much around my area of the stadium, but I was a little bit further up and I was undercover.
That's Ava saying she was in a corporate box in the nicest way.
I was a little bit further up.
It was an outdoor corporate box, so I was a little bit nervous.
Poor thing. Ava told me before that their drinks weren't included in her corporate box.
Oh,
so
honey.
I don't know how she does it.
You might as well have been in the car park.
I am in GA every other week.
Now, I know that your sister had got off and had through her work, so that would have been fun. But
I did see them, and I was a little bit nervous for other people.
Okay. Do you believe...
the plebs down in GA.
Down there. How do you feel about the... Is it actually good luck to be pooed on by a bird?
Look, I'll just say I've been pooed on before, and nothing miraculous came my way after.
Just absolutely want to clarify by a bird.
By a bird.
Thank yeah. you. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, by a bird. And I just think maybe, yeah, it's something nice we say.
Do you believe in, like bad luck v. good luck, those kind of things, or do you think you make your own?
I think sometimes yes and sometimes no. I think if like bad things are happening for me, then I'm like, oh, the universe is out to get me.
I like to tell myself that if something bad's happened to me, I'm like, okay, well, two more things and then I'm done.
That's it. I like to yeah. have all the counts going.
Like, oh, okay, three bad things have happened. Okay, we're done now. It's clocked out.
I've also had periods where I'm like, oh, I'm feeling a real high right now. Like things are going really well. I went and I'll go, something's going to happen tomorrow.
Oh, that's this too shall pass. And yeah. That'll keep you good. No, this too shall pass is a good level.
Yeah.
Anyway, so poo bad. Poo yeah, bad, not poo lucky. Bad,
not lucky.
Okay.
Well, I mean...
You're probably unlucky if it's picked you, if anything, is what I've always said.
Jeez, lightening the mood.
That's what I'm here for.
Does it count on your car as well?
Oh, I have literally, I have bird poo on the door handle and it's so, like currently, and it's so... I have to use two fingers to open it because it's all over the door handle. I'm not washing it.
Why don't you just wash it?
Do you want to wash it? Oh, sorry. You're in the corporate box. You don't have time for things like that. Washing a car. That's
I was
okay.
just going to tell you I got my car detailed last week.
Yeah, but they put a sticker on your back window and they didn't tell
you. Worth it.
I'm not telling you to like go pay $20 to get it cleaned. I'm just telling you to grab a sponge and do it yourself.
I know it's clearly new.
Make
here.
Your own luck. Make your own luck. This
is Tim and Jess. Tim, a couple of weeks ago we had a friend of the show come in. With some friends.
Yeah, with a beautiful snake from the Ballarat Wildlife Park. The main reptile keeper, Jack Gatto, Leopold guy, came in here with a snake during school holidays, and it was great fun.
It was so much fun. And then, you know, a few days ago, we received a little message from Jack just being like, hey, guys, what's up? I'm also doing this thing on the side of my wildlife stuff. I just happen to also be... like an Elvis impersonator.
Yeah. And it turns out not just like a Elvis impersonator.
No,
like
the Elvis impersonator.
The best in the country. And he's gone viral over the last couple of weeks. He actually joins us now, Jack Gatto from Leopold, Australia's best Elvis. Is that right, Jack? Welcome back to the show, mate.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Thanks for having me. Yeah, that's something like that. Absolutely.
So I'll be honest, when you came in here last time with the snake...
We didn't get Elvis vibes from you, mate.
No.
You hide it pretty well.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things, mate. Without makeup, look like a bulldog eating porridge, mate. But makeup is a wonderful thing.
So we saw a video that Sahai Hawkins from The Wiggles shared on the hers and The Wiggles
socials. Oh, did we also mention Jack works with The Wiggles
part-time
too?
Yeah, you do work with The Wiggles. You've got a bit going on. Now, Jack, I've got a bit of audio before we ask you a few questions. And they were shaken with this. Oh, my love. My darling, I'm hungry for your touch. Just absolutely impressive.
I feel like listening to that while you handed us the snake a couple weeks ago.
Hang on, just a second.
It might have made the whole situation a little less scary.
Jack.
Yeah.
That is...
You have an incredible voice, mate.
Beautiful. So you're touring with the Wheels. Now, Jess actually raised this. Is it insulting to you to call you an Elvis impersonator?
Yeah, what do you guys prefer? Because I've seen some people called impersonators and some called tribute artists. What's your preference?
Well, mate, if you ask the wider community of Elvi, they would say Elvis tribute artists. But, mate, honestly, if you're putting on a jumpsuit, you're singing his songs and you're pretending to be Elvis, then I don't know if that is the definition of impersonation, mate. So either or, I don't mind, mate. No, but thank you so much. It's pretty strange to hear that back. But, no, it's cool, mate, yeah.
And so this is something that you do a lot, right? Because it says on the official Graceland website, which is where you're heading this week, it says that you do this full-time. You're a full-time Elvis tribute artist. But we know that you have multiple other jobs. So how often are you pulling on the jumpsuit?
Yeah, mate. So, yeah, it's happening quite a bit. I'm working with a company called Dom Arpa Productions at the moment, and we're touring around. So, generally, at least a couple of shows a month at the moment where we're doing Elvis shows. So, we've obviously got to balance it with the wildlife stuff at the Ballarat Wildlife Park, but they're really understanding, mate. So, yeah, that's pretty often.
And so you're heading over to Graceland. So essentially, for those who haven't caught up, Jack, you represented and won the Cooley Rocks On Festival. You represented from Geelong. And then now you're going to Graceland. You're competing against other Elvis tribute artists.
Are you representing Australia, Jack?
Sort of. I'm actually representing Cooley Rocks On, from the Gold Coast and heading over there. And there's competitions like this all around the world to be the best Elvis. And you've got to win one to get to Memphis. So I won it. So now I'm going to Memphis. I actually head off tomorrow, mate, which is going to be absolutely awesome. Get to go to Graceland and have a sing. And yeah.
So do you get to perform in Elvis's house? Like, is that where they do the competition?
No, they do it in like a bit of a theatre sort of setting. So no, definitely not in Elvis's house. That's an artifact or heritage listed or something over there, mate. Yeah, that'd be pretty wild though, wouldn't it? In the jungle room or something.
I've spoken to a few people across Geelong that have seen you live and have been absolutely blown away by your voice. When did you realise that like singing like Elvis was something that you could do? Or was it something you worked towards?
I'll be dead honest with you. I woke up. I literally went to bed one day, couldn't sing, and I woke up and could sing a little bit better, and then it just happened from there. And I'm not even kidding. Like, it was just one of those things. And everyone used to say, "Well, you sound like Elvis. You sound like Elvis." And I got sick of it. I'm like, I don't want to sound like Elvis. And then what happened was when I started seeing people get happy and creating memories, and also giving opportunities to people that I could never have had, especially like with the Wiggles and stuff. You know, I sort of followed it through and started to research Elvis and fell in love with, you know, his music and what his songs meant.
So how much memorabilia do you have at this point?
Because like full Elvis.
Like do you get your costumes made or have you got some stuff from Elvis?
Yeah, so I've got a couple of things of Elvis's. I've got a set of his pajamas, which is kind of weird, right? I do get the exact replica of the costume. So I order them off a couple of different companies that make them, BK Enterprises, where they use the same design as Elvis's. So they're literally dead ringers for what Elvis wore on stage. So if we're going to do it, we think we want to do it right.
Wow. So what are you performing in Memphis? Do you get to choose your song or is it like everyone performs the same thing?
Yeah, so you have to put in a list of about 14 songs and then Graceland will choose a couple of songs for you. But I actually find out tomorrow. Well, Monday. Ooh. It's Monday American. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Tell you what, Jack Gatto, we are so lucky that we met you about a month ago because things look like they are taking off for you from Leopold to Ballarat Wildlife Park now to Graceland. We are so keen to follow along your journey. We will absolutely touch base in the next few weeks and see how it all goes.
Yeah,
okay?
We'd love to have you back in the studio.
I'd love to come back. Thanks so much for having me on the show, mate. I'll see you when I'm back.
Okay, absolutely. Best of luck.
There we go. The king of crock and roll, he's been described as. It is Jack Gatto from Leopold. Tim and Jess driving you home. You're on K-Rock.
Tim and Jess, the podcast.
Tim, last week, thank you so much again for holding down the fort when I had to call in sick on Friday. The man flu that caught my husband, struck him down for a week, finally caught me.
I think it was, last Friday is when you got sick. It was the Friday before that, so now almost a week and a half ago, you were like, you came to work and I was like, you're all right, mate. And you're like, my husband, oh my God.
He really milks it. He milks it so hard. When he is sick, that man acts as if he's on his deathbed.
Right.
Like we had your young son Jack's birthday on the Sunday and I was like, I think you'll be fine. And he was like, oh, I couldn't possibly go. Oh, I couldn't. He was acting like he was dying of the plague in like the Victorian era. He was like on the couch lying with like a tea towel on his forehead. I was like, okay, I guess I'll bring you back some cake.
Right. It was... That's good. Perked up though when you got home.
Yeah, certainly did. And it's just one of those things that like, all week he's been complaining about, oh, you know, I'm so blocked up. Oh, I can't get up. I can't help with dinner. Can you do the laundry? Oh, I couldn't possibly. I'm like,
so just saying I'm lying on the couch.
I'm like, I'm literally growing a child here.
Do you think you were more cheesed off because you're, you know, almost 30 weeks pregnant?
I think, I'm 28 weeks tomorrow.
I mean, otherwise you're a delight to be around and really, really considerate and forgiving.
I'm definitely getting less patient. Like I'm about to enter my third trimester and I get it now. I get when women are like, your third trimester is the worst.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm finally like getting to that point where my body is feeling heavy. And like the fact that he was like, oh, I've got a cold. And I was like, but are you dying?
Right. Nice. That's. I'm sure he felt seen and heard.
And then, of course, I wake up Friday morning and I was feeling pretty rough.
Yeah.
And I turned to him and I was like, I think it's finally hit me. He was like, now you understand.
I mean, like, I didn't say anything last week, but you were coming in every day rinsing that man.
Yeah, I was.
Flu. And, like, I...
Honestly... Well, he was complaining for a week and a half.
Yeah.
Like,
you've done well. You
3 days.
You took one day off and you're fine. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think either of you are fun to be around when you're sick.
That's so true.
Like, when you've called me in the past, and I'm going to do an exact like for like reaction of you calling me. So, Timmy. Yeah, no, not good tonight. No, it's not good. Or I'll call you and you'll go, huh, what? What time is it? You act so lost and confused.
Well, because I'm usually asleep when you call.
Oh, sorry. I'm just so out of it.
I mean, lucky when I'm not growing a germ machine inside of me currently.
No, that comes later. He will. Your unborn son will be the snot of you.
Yes.
I'll tell you right now.
Yeah. Yep.
You think you're going to be grossed out by poos. Poos are nothing compared to snot. A leaky green tap that never stops.
Well, see, I think my nephew was the catalyst.
Oh, it's fun. It is fun to blame.
Because
it is fun to point a finger.
I was holding him a few weeks ago and he like sneezed and it was like two snot rockets just like shot out of his nose. And I was like,
bungee cords.
And that's enough auntie time. Yeah. And I can hand him back. But I think that may have been because like then we saw like my sister and her husband were sick. My brother and his partner were sick.
Yeah. Blame the child because he can't defend himself.
Exactly.
He's 6 months old.
Oh, what are you going to say? Oh, you can't speak yet? Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Thanks.
If you could, it would be lies.
Yeah.
It would be guilt. That's what it's giving.
But yeah, so apologies to my husband. I get it. You were sick for reals. But now.
It's a conversation that happens in every
back
household.
To the kitchen, son.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Imagine if my wife got sick. I summarized it. But anyway, babe, back to the kitchen.
Back to the kitchen.
Even as a joke, I regret saying it.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
I think I might have put, and this happens in a lot of friendships, relationships, I think I might have signed my wife up to something that was probably just not fair.
Oh.
Got her to be the... These tickets for this show go on sale at this time.
Oh, no.
I'm doing the radio show. Baby.
Just do what I do and get distracted for 3 hours,
Yeah,
Tim.
No, I try not to do that because we talk about the Taylor Swift day where I started the show at 3 and you joined us at 4:45. Mentally.
Worth it.
Physically, you were in the studio, but mentally, you were not. So I was like, you know what?
What show are you trying to get tickets to?
I'll get there. So... Not only was it a, hey, tickets go on sale at this time, there's only one show.
Oh, God.
There's not going to be multiple. You need to get 8 tickets.
8 tickets? Most of the time they don't let you get more than 6.
8 was the limit. For there was 9 of us, so one person missed out.
Who'd you kick off?
Now, it was my dad, and it'll make sense in a moment. Because I think there were a there was a lot of people who were in front of my wife in the queue, but she did manage to get snagged 8 tickets.
All together.
November this year, for the first time ever, we're going to the Wiggles.
Oh, my God.
Full.
Sorry, Papa Pete, you got to stay home.
Yeah, don't think he's too upset.
Is this that they're doing the tree tour?
The Tree of Wisdom tour. It's a stadium. Like, it's like, I think it's John Cain Arena.
Is it the Arena Spectacular one?
And it's like, they're in the middle. Now, we haven't got floor or anything. We've just got what we could. We were like, let's try and get 8 together. So it's like my sister, her husband, the kids, my mum, our son, me and my wife.
From what my friends have told me, the first time you go to the Wiggles, better to be further back.
Okay.
Sometimes... they freak out when they see how big the Wiggles are.
Ah, well, that's probably a good point.
Because on the TV, they look small.
Tiny.
And then when they get there in person, they're like, who is this giant tree and dancing at me?
I felt bad because it was like, hey, our hopes and dreams are riding on, like, the first family experience.
Don't disappoint the children.
Yeah, and I felt bad because, like, so the majority of the people are my, so it's like my sister,
yeah,
my mum, like, my sister's kids. And then, like, I've got my wife. I'm like, hey, married in, figure it out.
So like, want to stay part of the family?
Yeah.
Don't let us down.
I was like, hey, if you can get him, awesome. If you can't, I guess we'll just not have fun.
And then did you pick up your son Jack and go, mummy almost loves you.
Yeah.
If she gets the tickets,
yeah,
she really does.
So, luckily snagged the tickets.
Is your dad disappointed?
I don't think he knows. I don't think he's aware of what is actually going on. But
did you invite your mum so she'd pay for the tickets?
No. I've actually been roped into driving past Melbourne to go and pick her up from her place.
Oh, my God.
Come back into the city because she doesn't fit in the other car because it's two car seats. And I was like, that's fair.
Yeah.
So
she's a very little person.
I've never been. That's what everyone was saying. She's like, I won't eat for that week.
Stick her in the boot.
I don't know if I went to a Wiggle show when I was a kid.
Right.
I'll have to find out. But it's like a rite of passage as an Australian kid. And like we're gonna have to get our son back. He's just turned two. We're gonna have to get him back into the Wiggles because he was all about the Wiggles maybe 6 months ago. Still likes some of the songs. Shake the Sillies out. You know, that's
Rockabye Bear.
Rockabye Bear, absolutely huge. So there's a song called Bouncing Balls that could be. It's my favorite and least favorite song of all time. I'll have to get it.
Well, you're going to have to introduce him to the tree.
Tree wisdom's a bit much.
It's a lot. It's but, a lot. Like, I'm assuming that he's going to be a big part of it if they've named the tour after him.
There's a chance. There's a chance that...
So you don't want your son to get there and be like, who's this tree guy?
Tree bloke. So, yeah, we'll have to...
I feel like they put the least amount of effort into that costume. Like, they've got, like, literally a dinosaur and
every time
got
he
the octopus.
Dances, the leaves just... It's like a green business shirt and, like... khakis. It's just like...
To me, it feels like he was like, guys, I've got a great idea. I'm going to be a tree. And they were like, all right, Gary.
Yeah, Dominic, go
if
for
you,
it.
Whatever you want to do, like, you make it happen. We're not putting any money into this.
And now he's so viral and famous, they're like, we have to name the show after him.
Damn it.
But you can't change your costume because how...
Now people know that as the tree.
So... Yeah, I'm a bit nervous. I've never never considered what it would be like to go to a show where like toddlers and kids are screaming, losing their mind, and it's like you're in roundup mode.
Well, and you've got to decide which of the Wiggles is he going to dress up as.
I'm worried about what Wiggle. I'm not worried. I know what I'm going as.
Who are you going as?
I'm going as Lockie. Lockie's the best
Purple.
Wiggle, hands down. Puts in the most effort.
Yeah.
So we'll have to try it. But Katarina, she's a star. These are the things. We've got until November to figure it out. It's like one of those things where
a lot of pressure.
I'm looking forward to it. Terrified.
Yeah.
So watch this space.
Goodbye. Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best. Goodbye.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.